Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
So let's get that Baylor preview going with Ashley Hodge from Sikkim 365. And Ashley, this is a team that started the season, preseason top 10. You know, Baylor has been one of the best college basketball programs in the country ever since, you know, since the arrival of Scott Drew over a decade ago. Preseason number 8 to 19-14, 10-10 in the Big 12. Where did this team kind of slide off those preseason expectations?
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. First of all, I'm excited about this matchup. Looks pretty even on paper, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and obviously a great reward to play Duke for the winner. I think it's they've just had a lot of a lack of continuity. Some of it's been injuries. They've had guys in and out of the lineup all year long. They expected Langston Love to be a really key guy for them this year, and he was banged up most of the year. Jeremy Roach had a couple of concussions. The Duke transfer, they lost their big guy, Josh Ojewuna, to an ACL injury midseason. They've had other guys have ankle issues and now the lineup, VJ Edgecombe, Jalen Celestine. So I think it's just a lack of continuity of playing together. Now, they finally have had their nucleus, except for Josh, their big guy, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they're playing a little bit better basketball as a result, but still a little bit of a flawed team. You know, I would compare this team to more of a mid-major, a really good mid-major, because they just lack size. And other than Norchad Omir inside, they just don't have a lot of quality size.
VJ Edgecombe is a player that Mississippi State fans would be familiar with. He was heavily recruited by Chris Jans out of high school, ends up at Baylor, and has been shown that he's very much worth the hype. 15 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, just an outstanding player. Is he the kind of player – because I see a freshman with those kind of numbers, and I immediately think, you know, March always has that freshman. Could he be that freshman that has an outstanding March?
He could be. I mean, he can be – a dominant offensive player at times. When he's hitting his threes, he's really tough to stop because he can get downhill and get to the rim on anybody. He's been inconsistent with the three ball. I mean, he's had stretches where he'll go 4 for 6, 5 for 7 in a game, and then he'll follow that up with a 0 for 6, you know, 1 for 6. So I think it really boils down to whether or not he can hit three-pointers. If he's hitting threes, he's a tough matchup because he's just so explosive offensively. I think he'll remind you some of Anthony Edwards. I mean, he doesn't have the body that Edwards has, but he's got that kind of explosion.
You know, it's people mention Anthony Edwards, a great NBA player, and I saw him here, you know, when he came to Starkville. And I remember leaving that game going, what's the hype? I don't see it. And, man, talk about being off on a prediction there. You mentioned also, you'll have to help me with the pronunciation, Norchad Omir. Is that
Omir,
correct?
Yes.
Okay. A double-double guy, but yes. not a 7-footer. You see somebody averaging 15 and 11, you think, okay, that must be he's 6'7". That feels like a guy who Cam Matthews, Mississippi State's best on-ball defender, would draw in a matchup. Physically, what kind of player is he?
I mean, he's as strong as they get. He's a mature guy. You know, I think his age – I think he's 24, 25, maybe older. You know, sometimes these guys that come from overseas,
you never know,
are a couple years older. Yeah. I mean, but he's a grown man, and he's just, really difficult to keep off the offensive glass. I think, his game against Houston a week or so ago, where he had 9 offensive rebounds against what I think is one of the most physically imposing front courts in college basketball, was just a result of, you know, how difficult he is to keep off the offensive glass. The key for him is he loves to pick up 2 fouls by the under 16 media timeout. So if Mississippi State can get him in foul trouble, it's going to be a long day for Baylor. If he stays out of foul trouble and he's able to play 30, 35 minutes, then he's a handful. You know, and I know Mississippi State's got some great defenders and some physical guys, but it's going to be all hands on deck because he is just so relentless on the glass that he's he's really a weapon getting extra possessions for Baylor.
If you followed Mississippi State at all this year, you know they have a giant Achilles heel. They cannot defend the three-point shot. They are one of the worst teams in the country at it. Teams have consistently been in double digits, and in some games, 15, 14 three-pointers. This is a pretty good three-point shooting team over there at Baylor. And when you look inside the numbers a little deeply and you take Omie, who's just under 30% as a shooter, Edgecombe is at 35, Robert Wright is at 36, Roach is at 35, and then you have Jaden Nunn, 41.1%. We just went ahead and made a prediction on the podcast that he'll shoot 7 for 10 in this game. This is a good three-point shooting team. Are they as consistent as the numbers on paper make them look?
Well, they went into the season thinking that was going to be their strength. They thought they would be a top 10 in the nation three-point shooting team. They had Jalen Celestine coming from Cal. I think he was like 45% last year at Cal. Mm-hmm. Langston Love was 48% last year at Baylor. Jaden Nunn was over 40%. Roach was at 43% at Duke. So the answer to your question is they haven't been as good as they thought they would be. Mm-hmm. Is it a team that could, you know, get hot in March and you know, really string together some 10 to 15 three-point games, you know, like where they hit 10 or 15 three-pointers? Yeah, I think they're capable of that, but they haven't put anything on paper to show that they've had that kind of consistency this year.
What, you know, looking at their schedule, they played Arkansas early in the season and got the win, and that's an Arkansas team that's much different now than it was back then. I mean, this is a team that's got some good wins on the schedule. They beat St. John's,
right?
Who's one of the best teams in the country. Close loss to UConn.
Yeah.
Lost to Tennessee. So they're certainly battle tested. And when you play in the Big 12, you're going to be that way. Sometimes there's a team in March that, you know, has that underachiever label coming into the tournament, but they were preseason hype for a reason. Is Baylor a team that you think could find its way into the Sweet 16? Obviously, there's the big obstacle of Duke, but could this game be a launching pad for them if they're able to get the win?
Yeah, they have some of the ingredients that you would want for a team that could do that. I mean, obviously, a superstar freshman in BJ Edgecombe, another really good freshman in Rob Wright, veteran guys who have been to Final Fours, Jeremy Roach, he's underachieved this year, but he's capable, and then Norchad Omier, and then some other veterans around him that have NCAA experience. But, you know, they have to keep Norchad Omier out of foul trouble. If he is foul trouble, they just don't have answers in the post. You know, he is their post play. And they also have to get hot from three. And they've been really inconsistent in that regard. So I would tend to say that their chances of getting out of this weekend are pretty slim. And even their chances of, you know, winning this game against Mississippi State, I think it's a coin flip. I think that on paper they have some of the things you want to see, and you could see why they were ranked highly preseason, but they just haven't shown any consistency to make you a believer that they'll do that.
Is Scott Drew kind of an X factor for them? This has got one of the best coaches in college basketball, and he knows tournament basketball. He knows March. Does he give them a little bit of an edge? Jans has played in the tournament. He's gotten teams into the tournament, but he doesn't have the same resume that Drew does by far.
Yeah. I think Drew is early in his career was thought to be an outstanding recruiter, and he's really good in that area. He brings talent into Waco, but I think the thing that's really undervalued with him is just what a great game planning coach he is. You know, he's just able to put together game plans to really exploit other teams' weaknesses and highlight Baylor's strengths. I think he's best in these environments where he's had a lot of success in the non-conference and a lot of success in the tournament over the years, maybe not as much success the last 3 years. They haven't got out of the first weekend, but he's really good, game planning. So especially on that second game, you got to get past the first one to get to the second one. So we'll see how he does Friday against Mississippi State.
Whenever we do these kind of previews, we like to find an X factor. You know, I don't want you to say Ormier, or I don't want you to say Edgecombe. Who's a player for Baylor that if you look up and they had a big day on the box score, it would go a long way for the Bears?
Langston Love. You know, he's been hurt most of the year. He's a big body. He's capable of making multiple threes in a game. He's getting healthier. He's dealing with some nagging injuries, ankle related injuries. But yeah, he's a guy that I think has been anxious to play in the NCAA tournament. He never has. He's been hurt the last couple of years when it came time for the NCAA tournament. He's a physical presence. He's 6'5". He's got a long wingspan. You know, probably gives you some of the characteristics of Cameron Matthews. Not as big as Cameron Matthews, but he did a really good job defensively against Juwan Roberts from Houston, one of the best big men in the country. When they played Houston a couple games ago. So I think Langston loves the X factor. You know, if he's a guy that can score 10 plus points, I think he's going to give you a lot of good things on defense and rebounding. And, you know, he's a guy I would watch.
It feels like these two teams are kind of not, I wouldn't say mirror images of each other, but these are both big physical teams. Baylor's a much better shooting team than Mississippi State. I'm not sure where State's advantages lie in this one, but we'll see what happens on Friday, 11:15, I believe, 11:15 tip off between Baylor and Mississippi State. If State wins this game, I'm going to go really deep cut here. I'm going to demand that return game from Baylor from 1995 that never came back to Starkville. That we got to get that done. All right, 1995 football, State goes to Baylor.
I remember that. Yes,
they never came back. I have no idea.
Jackie Sherrill. Jackie
Sherrill. Who did those contracts? I have no idea.
I know. So, yeah.
Ashley Hodge, Sikkim 365, man. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.